straight. I want to share today about the account of the woman that had the issue of blood. It's been mentioned a few times lately, and I've had this on my mind for at least a month. I was carrying something in my bag for a month. I'll show it to you in a bit. But it's Luke chapter 8 and verse 43. Are they working? This is modern technology. It's brilliant when it works.
Hello. Translate for me. Okay. We're having a problem with the sender that sends the signal. There's a broken connection inside the sender. I've ordered 6 more receivers and another sender. So we'll have a spare one. And that's on its way to us. And
Luke chapter 8, verse 43. And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him, that's Jesus, and touched the fringe of his cloak. And immediately her hemorrhage stopped. And Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" And while they were all denying it, Peter said, "Master, the multitudes are crowding and pressing upon you." But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell down before him, and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him, and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." I like this because it's such a full account of what happened. And something extraordinary happened, actually. And we can read it and miss it. See, she She touched Jesus. There's all these people milling about, and they'll be touching him. He says it's the crowding about. But she touched him. They touched him, but she touched him. It's a difference. And although all those were pressing against him, in verse 42, it said that, it says, the multitudes were pressing against him. But something happened with this lady, this woman, that didn't happen with any of the others that were pressing against him. See, she'd been healed for 12 years. Now we read about Jesus' ministry only lasting 3 years. But she'd been ill for 12 years. And she'd sought a solution to her illness in different ways. It doesn't tell us what ways, but it'd be the ways of the days, the different choices they had in those days of finding some cure for illness. No one could heal her. All the ones that she went to, no one could heal her. Now she would be considered unclean. She got a discharge that never cleared up. She would be ritually unclean. She'd be an outsider. She wouldn't be accepted in the congregation, in the group. So she was always on the outside, always on the fringe. Now, let's just have a look at some of the things that happened in Luke's Gospel before this particular instance. If you look earlier on in Luke chapter 8 and verse 1, it tells us that it came about soon afterwards that they began going about from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. So perhaps the woman was somehow listening in on what was taking place when he was visiting the villages, visiting the cities, and even in the countryside. He was proclaiming the kingdom of God. He was preaching and teaching. So she perhaps was hearing what was going on. In chapter 8, verse 19, it says, "And his mother and his brothers came to him and were unable to get to him because of the crowd." Even his own close relatives couldn't get to him. So what chance had this woman getting anywhere near him? She'd been rejected probably out of society anyway. Even his brothers and his family couldn't get near him. Verse 40, Luke chapter 8, verse 40 says, "And as Jesus returned, the multitude welcomed him, for they had been waiting for him." Perhaps she was one of those that were waiting for him. But somewhere along this journey, something must have started happening to this woman. She'd heard Jesus. She'd seen him. Excuse me. Still got a niggling cough that keeps coming back. Verse 21, chapter 7. Says at this very time he cured many people of diseases and afflictions and evil spirits, and granted sight to many who were blind. She probably saw this. So she's heard him. She's been in his presence even at a distance. And she's seen what he's been doing. So something's stirring within it. You see, when she touched Jesus, it says she touched the hem of his garment, hem of his cloak. It wasn't a hand touching him that Jesus noticed. It was her faith. It was her faith that touched Jesus. In this period, when Jesus would be going around and teaching and preaching from village to village, town to town, she'd seen She'd seen him talking. She'd heard what he'd said. She hadn't got the New Testament. She hadn't got something to read. She was seeing him and hearing him. And something must have been happening within her. Because when she got to that place where she was touching his garment, she was in a certain state. She was in a state of faith that could reach out to Jesus. See, we can miss this. If we read it, we can miss what's actually happening. It's good that it's a fuller account. There's an account of it in Matthew, but it's a very brief account. This is a fuller explanation of what went on. So she saw all these things happening. If we start at verse 40, go back a bit into verse 40 of chapter 8 of Luke. It says, "And as Jesus returned, the multitude welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him." And we said that she would be among that group that was waiting for him. She'd be expectant. And he says, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet and began to entreat him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitude were pressing against him." Even while he was going to do that, they were still pushing him and pulling him. And it says, "And a woman who had a hemorrhage 12 years and could not be revived, she came behind him." She couldn't get in front of him. She must have been just behind him somewhere. And she got hold of that garment. She got hold of Jesus' garment. How she managed to get through the crowd, it doesn't tell us. But perhaps she was bent down, perhaps she went low down to just try and just touch some part of him. But she touches the fringe of his cloak, and she touches it with faith. Now faith, if you look in the dictionary, it tells us faith is complete trust and confidence. If you look in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, you just turn to that, and it gives the first verse is a definition, and it's a difficult one to unravel. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Or if you're the authorized, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." If you read that, it can be difficult to unravel that, what it actually means. But it's talking about faith being real. Something absolutely real. We can forget, really, what faith really is, because when we come to church, we come believing. We believe that Jesus died for us. We believe it. But we somehow detached from it. We're not involved with it because we're so used to saying that. Now this woman had a crisis in her life. This thing was killing her. And she'd had it 12 years, so presumably she was getting progressively worse. And because of the condition she was in, she was looking for answers. She'd looked for answers 12 years and not really found any. But here she is, coming to Jesus. And she gets through and she touches the hem of the garment. And that point of touching his garment, something happened. So what was Jesus' reaction? What was Jesus' reaction? First of all, he knew faith had touched him. Now, I don't think he knew who it was. We think that Jesus knows everything, but Jesus only knows what the Father reveals to him. So at that moment, perhaps the Father hadn't revealed to him. He'd only got one pair of eyes. See, when he saw Nathanael under the fig tree, he was looking through the Spirit. The Father had told him. But here he is, in this crowd. He has faith, had touched him. He knew that faith had touched him. And at that moment, I don't think he knew who it was. If you look at verse 45, it says, "Who is the one who touched me?" He knew that power had gone out of him. Because it says in verse 46, he says, "Someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out for me." He didn't turn around and say, "You touched me." He knew that power had gone out of him. Now, this is interesting. She touches his coat with faith, by faith. She touches his garment by faith. And suddenly, power has gone out of him. The word dynamis, which from we get the word dynamite, from that base word. So power had gone out of him. So faith drew power. Let's go back to this thing I brought. We got a new fridge, and it had a container at the back that kept filling up with water, and for some reason it was overflowing. So I went and bought what I call a siphon, which you put that in the water, and you press that, and it creates a vacuum and draws the water out, so you can get rid of water out of something into something else. So that it struck me in my mind when I saw this, that what was happening, that she was drawing power out, she was using faith, the siphon, and drawing out the water. Now, when Andrew did a Bible study the other week, I haven't got a copy of it now, but the sheet he did mentions about this, and he used the word conduit. Now, a conduit, if you look in the dictionary, a conduit is a channel or pipe for conveying liquids. Something similar, a tube or trough for protecting insulated electric wires. That's a conduit. Neither of these quite hit the mark, but there is a word that the Bible uses that does hit the mark. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 12, Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. It says, "Therefore you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation." The word "draw," it's surprising, the word "draw" has so many different definitions, you wouldn't believe it. You look in the dictionary, it covers half a page of different definitions. Draw a picture, the results were a draw. Draw from the bank, all sorts of different draw. But you see, it says, "You will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation." Where or who is the spring of salvation? Jesus is the spring of salvation. He's the one that we draw salvation from. He's the one who gives us salvation. And it's used in the word "draw." Draw, now then, the dictionary definition of draw. Obtain or take from a source. Pull or cause to move or pull up. If you draw something, you pull it forward out. But I like that, obtain or take from a source. That lady went to Jesus' garment, knowing. Now, Grace touched on the comment earlier. I know that I know. That woman went and touched his garment, saying, I know that I know. If I touch, and when I touch that, I will be healed. It wasn't if Jesus would like to, or if he feels like it, or if he thinks I'm worthy. She went knowing. That was the state of her faith. That was the state of her belief. When I touch that garment, I will be healed. And the moment she touched the garment, power came out of Jesus. Power came out, and she was healed that very moment. Something tremendous happened. And it happened because faith touched Jesus. Faith touched Jesus. There are two quotes that came, one from Daniel and one from Andrew on the Wednesday meetings again. One from Daniel. I don't know whether they even remember saying these, but I wrote them down. Daniel said, God favours the faithful. God favours the faithful. That means that answers come for the faithful. Those that come in faith, operate in faith, will get answers. Andrew, another quote from Andrew, it breaks the law of physics. It breaks the law. You see, science can't explain it. You go to your science teacher, you go to a chemist or whatever, they will not be able to explain the miracle of healing. It breaks the law of physics. See, God's word overrides everything. God can make the impossible possible. He can change situations. And that's what he did for this woman. He changed the situation. The interesting thing about this is that we think this was unique. This woman touching the cloak of Jesus' garment to get healed. But the Bible tells us about other instances as well. If you turn to Matthew chapter 14, verse 36. It says, and they began to entreat him that they might just touch the fringe of his cloak, and as many as touched it were cured. Mark chapter 6. Verse 56. It says, and whenever he entered villages or cities or countryside, they were laying the sick in the marketplace and entreating him that they might just touch the fringe of his cloak, and as many as touched it were being cured. There was a lot of faith around. Because they were seeing Jesus. They were seeing things happen. You know, Andrew's mentioned about seeing signs, wonders and miracles. If you see something like that, it's going to blow your mind, because it breaks the law of physics. There's no physical physical explanation. It's a miracle explanation. Luke chapter 6, verse 19. And all the multitude were trying to touch him, for power was coming from him and healing them. That's what that lady found, isn't it? Power was coming from him and healing him. Things really were happening. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. And it came about one day that he was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. The power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. You know, when he went to his own town, he couldn't do a lot of miracles. And it says why? Because of their lack of faith, because of their unbelief. It was the faith that was linking in to Jesus that was setting the thing going. There was a connection, a contact. It says in John chapter 15, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. If we're living in Christ and we're growing in faith, see, this woman's on a journey. She didn't just arrive where she was at that place of healing. And if you look at the times when Jesus healed people, he often says, it's your faith that's healed you. Your faith has healed you. You just make a note of some references here. I've got Matthew chapter 8 verse 13, chapter 9 verse 2, chapter 9 verse 22 and chapter 15 verse 28. They're all occasions where Jesus said to them, your faith has healed you. Even when they let the sick man through the roof, they broke the roof up and let the sick man down on the treasure, down on the stretcher, so they could get to Jesus. He says to those that are brought in, it's your faith that sorted this one. Your faith has sorted this one out. He wasn't saying to the man that was sick. He was saying to those that brought him. So it happens in a lot of other instances, even within the Word of God. The good thing about the account of the woman with the issue of blood, it's detailed. Yeah. It tells you what's happened and it tells you Jesus' reaction. Yeah. If you look at exactly what happened and see Jesus' reaction was one of surprise. The way he spoke suggests he was surprised, because he was crowded around by so many. A human being cannot be aware of every single person around them if there's a crowd around, because some are out of sight. But he knew there was something special happened at that moment. We need just to remember that faith can't exist on its own. Faith always has to work in union with love. It tells about having all faith and not having love, and you're like an empty can. But in Galatians chapter 5 verse 6 it says faith working through love. See, See, the woman had faith to draw power for healing from Jesus. And that potential is still here for you and for me. We might not be in such an extreme position as she was in, but that same faith is here for each one of us in our walk with Jesus. We might have some critical times in our life, and the natural man has no answers. And I'm sure Jesus still wants us to come like that woman came, and to touch the hem of his garment with faith. Now, that woman was on a journey, and she didn't just arrive at that point. She must have seen Jesus at a distance. She must have listened intently to what he had to say. And she must have seen what he was doing. She must have been witnessing healings and miracles and things happening that helped her to grow in her faith, to the point where she knew in her own heart and mind that if she took Jesus, she would be healed. This is, I know that I know that I know. And she got hold of that. And she was like a dog with a bone. She would not let go of that. And that was her lifesaver, because it brought her back to full health. But we're on that journey, just like that woman was on that journey. And we can look at faith from a distance, or we can get hold of it personally and start to grow with it, and start to reach out with it. If you turn to Romans chapter 10, chapter 10, verse 17. It says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing. We've got to hear God's word. Read it, speak it, listen to it, learn it, experience it. And it's the word of Christ. We're blessed and fortunate because we have this. We've got this. But there's much more than it just being words on a paper. It's a living word. And, you know, I mean, we come on a Wednesday evening to Bible study. And I just quoted two quotes that I'd written down from those Bible studies. And I said the people that said them might have forgotten they said them, but they found a home somewhere. And you know, when Daniel said, God favours the faithful, he was just quoting from his own faith. He knows that God favours the faithful. It says without faith it's impossible to please God. But with faith all things are possible to him who believes. As Pastor Andrew said, it breaks the law of physics. And because it does that, you might go to your workplace or to your school, or even to your family, and they'll say, oh, well, it can't happen, it doesn't happen, it's impossible. But it is possible, because it's happened. If you look back into the lives of such as Smith Wigglesworth and others, you'll see that things happen that were unexplainable. But you see, we've gone, time-wise, we've gone a long way distant from that, 100, 200 years. And others that were around, even earlier this century. But that God that did these things, that allowed someone of faith to come and touch them, is still the same God. For you to come and touch that Jesus with your faith, for your needs, for your life. We can succumb quite easily to peer pressure, because we're in a country at the moment that's so full of the material that it's let go of the spiritual. But if you lose everything material, you still have everything spiritual. That's why that if you go back two or three generations, people lived in poverty in this country. Some people lived in poverty. There wasn't a safety net for the population to draw money from the government or anything else. They survived or starved. There was a drama, or I don't know, a documentary drama or something about the potato famine. Oh, it was that thing, Victoria. I think there were a potato famine in Ireland. And potatoes were the staple diet of the nation, and the potatoes had become diseased. So people literally were starving because their food shortage had been cut out. So it's not too long ago when things were not as they are now. We have so much now, technology wise, that we forget that it wasn't always like that. I remember when you only had telephones at the end of the street. You didn't have one in the house, you just had one at telephone box somewhere locally. And when people went out, they were out of touch. You couldn't ring them on your mobile and say, "Where are you?" or anything like that. Same with cars. We're a lot more mobile now with transport than we've ever been. So life can be quite comfortable, and we can forget the spiritual because we're so locked into the natural. But when this woman came with a need, she came to the right source for a need to be answered. And this is what we need to learn to do, to come to the right source for our needs to be answered. We, like this woman, will only get answers when we come to the right source. And Jesus is the source. If you look at that story, that account, that woman was the least likely to be able to come to Jesus of all those that are around. Yet she was the one that got the answer. She was the one that got the healing. That she came because she listened to God. She listened to Him. She learned who He was. And she found out and she believed. And because she believed, she was healed. Amen.